Education Council, and I want to thank our fellow council members for being here. And also, I know members of the teaching staff are here. Principal Langdon's here, Mayor Forbes, and MLA Urquhart. So thank them for being here, and for you as members of the community. And we are here as a deck to listen and to, see what all these presentations are about. And first off, we have Millville Kids, Devin Connor, Summer Blade, and Millville Elementary students. So we'll turn it over to them at this time.
I just want to say a quick word just to explain. The kids came home after they heard that the school was going to be under review, and they wanted to know what they could do. And so there were some just suggestions thrown around at the school, and one was for them to write letters. So they came home and they sat at the counter all afternoon writing a letter to Brian Gallant about why they wanted their school to stay open. And my daughter, Summer, said, "Is he going to read this, Mommy?" And I said, "You know, probably not. He gets a lot of mail. But maybe we could ask if we could read it to the people at the school." And so a lot of the kids decided they wanted you to hear about why they love their school and why they think that it should stay open. So we're going to give them a chance. Summer and Devin are going to read their letters that they wrote to the junior, and then the kids are going to write some things about why they like their school.
I like MES because we have more opportunities to do fun stuff like field trips. I like MES because we have more opportunities to do fun stuff like field trips. I like MES because we have more opportunities to.
Things I love about my school. Everyone gets to be in everything. Lots of famous people come here. Sponsoring people in Africa and Uganda.
School open because I would like to graduate from Millville. The advantage of having a small school is you can have a clean school. Everyone gets to choir or drama, not just certain people. We can do more field trips. We only need one bus for a field trip and a lot more. I would also love to have my 5-month-old sister to go to the great school. The teachers work hard, and my school is a lucky one. Love them. Three things I love about my school. One, we have more opportunities to do fun stuff like field trips and a lot more. Two, we have a custodial staff who does more than she's asked, like library and lots more. Three, we have one of the highest reading and writing levels of most schools, and great once-in-a-lifetime experiences. to escape in. I love to learn about soil and grow plants and science. I enjoy art because we do art like Fingo, the Starry Night. I appreciate being in a school near our house. I love NES. Reasons why NES should stay open. I have good friends near me at NES. My school is clean and tidy. We are all able to join together to do choir, jam, and tune, family picnic. I like to go play outside. I like to play out with the baby. I like to paint.
I like my school because we have gym and we get a drink. I like to go outside. I can go sliding at my school. I like math because we do daily math.
We had some more kids who either couldn't make it or were a little shy, so they recorded some stuff and they put together a picture presentation.
I think Neville Elementary should stay open because we would like it open.
I think Neville Elementary should stay open because my mom would like it open. I love playing babies. I like MES because we have more opportunities to do fun stuff like field trips and a lot more. I like MES because we have more opportunities to do fun stuff like field trips and a lot more. I like MES because we have more opportunities to do fun stuff like field trips and a lot more. I like MES because we have more opportunities to do fun stuff like.
I want MES to stay open because I have fun being a goalie in soccer.
I like art because we paint clay. I think Melville Elementary School should stay open because we have fun activities like playing Wii. MES is awesome because they do fun stuff, and that's why MES should stay open.
I like to watch the foxes and deer.
I think Melville Elementary School should stay open
so we can get more education in the area.
I think Millville Elementary should stay open because it gives children an opportunity to learn.
I like my school because we have gym and we get a drink. I appreciate being in a school near my house. I love MES. I like Subway because the subs are yummy.
I think the elementary school should stay up so kids can get a good education and learn so they're smart when they grow up.
I like gym because you can play sports like basketball.
I think Millville Elementary School should stay open for the other kids and me.
I love this school because a lot of my family grew up here.
I love to play soccer because my friends and I get along well. We get to Skype and help Africa.
I like to play with the babies because they're more fun.
I love snow at school because you can ride crazy carpets.
I think Millville Elementary School should stay open because we put a lot of money into the school.
We have amazing art and beautiful staff. MES has lots of playground room for us to play soccer and flips. MES should stay open because the teachers are fun and friendly.
I like art because you could paint your art sculptures.
If Millville Elementary closed, how would you sleep at night? Huh? How would you sleep at night knowing that you closed a kid's favorite school? Huh? How? How would you feel?
Summer Blake, not Blade, as I said earlier, so everyone could read except me, I guess. All right, at this time, we're going to have Jane Brewer and Sharon Connor and perhaps a few others come at the same time. So whoever you are.
I'm going to say that's a tough presentation to follow. Thank you all for coming to hear what we have to say about the closure of our school. With thank you for the opportunity to present our thoughts on the sustainability of Millville Elementary School. We read with some interest the sustainability study presented by Anglophone School District West and are familiar with Provincial Policy 409. Millville Elementary School is a wonderful, small, rural school providing its students with high-quality educational and enrichment opportunities and has been a keystone in the community for over 60 years. The quality of education and the numerous experiences students have been exposed to are second to no school in the province of New Brunswick. Millville Elementary School is a welcoming and vibrant place of learning, sharing, and caring with activities such as fundraising, art, music, drama and dance, field trips, physical activities, cultural literacy, and community events. In addition, Millville Elementary School has had international outreach to Uganda, Haiti, and India, and has participated with students around the world in International Walk to School, Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution Day, Project Well India, Chat to the Future, and Hour of Code. The school has been recognized on numerous occasions for its strong art, music, drama, and dance programs. We have received letters of praise from multiple people who we have had the pleasure of hosting for various workshops and programs. One professional artist, Jean Rooney, worked with us as an artist in residence for 3 years, as well as being involved in other art-related activities for 4 years. She sent us a letter recently and had this to say. After 18 years' experience of delivering art workshops in communities, I felt so passionately about this school. I drove 2.5 hours each way to be there and work with them. I did this over the course of 5 months, 5 hours travel each day I attended, to give professional and specialized art classes with the children of Millville Elementary. In fact, the last year we did not receive funding. I volunteered to be there and work on a claymation project. Why did I do this? Because the commitment of this school to the arts and culture have helped brand Millville Elementary and set it apart from others. And I'd like to take a moment as well to thank Jean for coming tonight. I know she's here in the audience somewhere. The population in the village of Millville has remained constant at about 300 people for the last 20 years. That's according to Statistics Canada, Census of Canada from 2001 to 2011. Likewise, the student population in Millville has been about 20 school-aged children between the ages of 5 and 9. There is no data for Upper Haynesville, Central Haynesville, Lower Haynesville, Nortondale, Hawkins Corner, and Maplewood, where children within our catchment area also live. The potential student population for MES has remained constant at 40 to 50 students for the past 9 years. This does not include the children bused out of the community to take French immersion. With regards to catchment boundaries, the practice of not following catchment boundary guidelines has had a direct impact on enrollment numbers at Millville Elementary School. This year, it also resulted in the need for Nakawick Elementary School to hire 2 additional teachers due to the fact that transfers in from Millville and other catchment areas brought the classes over the allowed limits. Millville Elementary School could have easily accommodated the additional students. Considering the fiscal restraints under which this province is operating, why would this district allow additional expenditures for unwarranted teacher salaries at Nakawick Elementary School? It should be noted for the year 2015-2016, excuse me, there are 16 students in the Millville catchment area that have been granted permission to attend other schools. This does not include students enrolled in French immersion. Little effort has been made to enforce catchment boundaries. It is a well-known fact that providing a false address to obtain a transfer has not been challenged. The district slide enrollment Millville Elementary School is somewhat misleading in that the perception is that student population in the Millville catchment is in a decline. The following slide shows us what the actual enrollment would look like if all students, with the exception of French immersion students, in the catchment area were registered at the school. From this slide, you can see the student population has remained relatively stable in Millville and surrounding areas. Enrollment is impacted by a number of external influences, such as threat of school closure, French immersion, catchment boundaries, perceived opportunities for more student activities, and breakfast and hot lunch programs. These will be elaborated on.
For school closures, some parents have said that they were reluctant to enroll their students in Millville Elementary School because of threatened school closure. They felt the instability was too difficult, so chose to enroll their child in another school to minimize potential disruption to student learning. Some children already attending MES have been moved out for the same reason. The community of Millville is tired of dealing with the continuing threat of school closure. This is wearing and erodes the people's confidence in the education system. Traditionally, parents who want their children to go into French immersion would send their children to Millville for grades K to 5, then have them enter late immersion. The impact of the threat of closure of late immersion, grade 6, has resulted in parents withdrawing children from Millville Elementary School earlier than they had wanted to. Some chose not to enroll their children at all, as they did not want to have them switch schools at such a young age. Options for entrance into late French immersion programs should be available to all students. Opportunities for students to obtain the necessary prerequisite French for entry into late immersion could include online programs, tutoring, and earlier introduction into intensive French. Some parents also believe there are more opportunities at a larger school. The reality is, however, that an overwhelming majority of students from our catchment area who attend other schools are not engaged in any extracurricular activities for a number of reasons. Students who live out of catchment areas must travel home on the bus during the time that many extracurricular activities are offered. For those who are able to stay, there are costs involved for some of the activities. Travel arrangements have to be made, and due to the large number of students, some activities are not offered to students of all ages. Many of these same students were active in drama, choir, art, music, and sports when they attended Millville Elementary School. All students at our school, not just an elite or select few, have been exposed to a multitude of art, music, dance, drama, and sports activities, as well as many worldwide educational and social activities and events. Every student is encouraged to take part in all activities that are offered. We would like it to be noted as well that up until the new set of health guidelines were implemented, Millville Elementary School had a hot breakfast program and an affordable and healthy hot lunch program. In order to comply with the new regulations, prepackaged food items had to be served. All students at Millville Elementary School are able to have a breakfast snack consisting of cheese, crackers, some fruit, and breakfast bar options. In addition, students can order a Subway meal once per week. As of last month, the necessary upgrades to our kitchen were completed. Our application for a license to prepare meals has been approved, and we are in the process of having a volunteer trained in the safe food handling course. We hope that early in the new year we will be up and running and be able to provide a hot lunch or breakfast option. Our provincial assessment results clearly indicate the advantage that students have attending Millville Elementary School. Grade 2 and Grade 4 provincial reading assessment scores over the last 5 years clearly demonstrate that our students consistently perform above district and provincial averages. Some years, Millville students exceeded the provincial average by 20%. It is important to note Millville Elementary School students scored substantially better than students attending Nacogdoches Elementary. Millville Elementary School averages 32% more students than Nacogdoches who are reading at the appropriate level by the end of Grade 2. As an example, in the first side of our slide, this is hard to read online as well. Millville Elementary School scored 88.9%, 100%, 100%, 100%, and 70% in grade 2 reading from the years 2009 to 2013-14. For 2009, Nacogdoches Elementary scored 68.4, 53.2, 50%, 72.4, and 51.6 for the same years. I'd like to take a moment to read a comment from Elizabeth Copeland. She is an author who recently offered a creative writing workshop to our students. MES is a great success story when it comes to literacy. My recommendation to you is this. Rather than closing MES, you should invite educational specialists from St. Thomas or another interested university to study why this tiny rural school has such high literacy rates. In a province that sadly boasts one of the lowest rates of literacy in the country, the teachings gained by such a research project would ultimately serve schools in the entire province. As a parent, that makes me extremely proud. Generally, MES students in grade 5 numeracy also exceeded district and provincial averages. The exceptional test scores can be said to be a result, in part, to the smaller class sizes at Millville Elementary. Decades of research highlight the positive impact small classes have on student performance. The results of the National Education Policy Center paper, Does Class Size Matter?, published in February 2014, clearly supports this. One of the recommendations noted that money saved today by increasing class sizes will be offset by more substantial social and educational costs in the future. Research indicates the initial benefits of small class sizes are: the children are taught in a family-like environment and are less likely to misbehave. Small class sizes reduce the gap between children who attend preschool and those who don't and lead to improved attendance at school. Students score substantially better on reading and mathematics tests. Children show higher levels of engagement and are more likely to participate in school. Teachers spend less time on classroom management and more time on instructing students. Students receive more individualized instruction and one-on-one or small group help. More lessons are taught through the use of hands-on activities, and the teacher and students have more positive interactions. In fact, children in a class of 15 students participated 2 or 3 times more in positive interactions with their teachers than their peers in a class of 30 students. Their teachers are more engaged with their learning and are less likely to burn out. Small class sizes lead to significant gains in the early years, but researchers are finding gains later on in life as well. Children who attend small classes are almost a full year ahead of their peers by the 8th grade. They are less likely to become pregnant as a teenager or to participate in juvenile criminal behavior. Children who were in smaller elementary school classes are more likely to graduate and enroll in college. Small class sizes are linked to a decrease in health care costs, and children who were in small classes live an average of 2 to 5 years longer. Research indicates that the benefits of small classes are cumulative. The more time children spend in smaller classes, the greater the improvements they will make. To receive long-term benefits, the students must spend at least 2 years in a small class, but children who spend 4 years reap the greatest benefits. Increasing class sizes by combining Millville and Nacogdoches elementary-aged students could, in the long run, negatively impact the academic, social, and physical well-being of our rural children. With regards to technology, given the size of the school, you would question what we have here for technology. Data line upgrades were completed at Millville Elementary School within the past 5 years. Millville Elementary now has a symmetrical 10-megabyte fiber optic connection to the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development. This is the same as most middle and elementary schools with a population below 400 students. All students have access to a variety of technological equipment: smart boards, laptops, desktop computers, netbooks, wireless keyboards, document scanners, cameras, and in the near future, iPads. Students at Millville Elementary School have an impressive outdoor play space, which borders on the Community Friendship Trail and includes a natural sliding hill which is enjoyed all winter. There is also a large baseball field / soccer field. The grounds are used by the community year-round as well. Millville Elementary School students have a stunning view as they play on natural grounds and have frequent opportunities to interact with and observe nature. According to Dave McGinn from the Globe and Mail, November 12, 2012, advocates say that natural playgrounds promote much more imaginative free play, foster social interaction, and cut down on bullying, and encourage risk-taking. Schools across Canada and the United States are putting in what Millville Elementary School has in spades. McGinn quotes Richard Louvre, who coined the phrase nature deficit disorder. He cautioned that cutting children off from nature was linked to rising rates of obesity, depression, and attention deficit disorder. Relocating our students to Nacogdoches Elementary or Nacogdoches Middle School would deprive them of the rich experiences and natural outdoor opportunities that they presently enjoy. A major overhaul to the Millville Elementary School playground was completed in the fall of 2014. Antiquated and unsafe equipment was removed to make way for a new $31,891 outdoor basketball court. This was a huge school and community effort that spanned almost 4 years. Students enjoy the outdoor facility and the opportunity it provides to have outdoor gym classes for at least 6 months of the school year. As well, it bears mentioning that this new facility is well used by the community. Plans for phase two of the playground project were halted last spring when the notification for the sustainability study was received. In conclusion, our examination of the programs at Millville Elementary School, with its extensive enrichment opportunities for all students, small class size, impressive literacy and math scores, and natural outdoor play space, show that students at our school can and do receive a quality education. Given that these advantages exist only at Millville Elementary School, the children's greatest opportunity to achieve academic excellence and overall school success will be if they remain in their community school. According to the Education Act, students have the right to be educated in their neighborhood school. Millville Elementary School is an exceptional neighborhood school that serves our children well. It should remain open. I'm going to take a moment now to turn the floor over to my friend Sharon. She's going to speak a little bit about the community connection with the school.
There are stores and churches, a post office, a ski hill and restaurant, farms, a nature preserve, a service club, sporting camps, artist studios, and garages in our community, and at the heart of all these is the school. The sights and sounds of children laughing and playing fills the community with hope, with joy, with promise for the future. It is difficult to pinpoint exactly what impact it would have on the community if the school were to close, but we can look to other communities to get an idea. The devastating impact of school closures has been seen throughout the province as well as other provinces. In a recent article by Joan Weeks, CBC News, September 27, 2015, parents in one Cape Breton community watched as a nearby community, Mean Adu, shrank from 300 families to less than 100. After losing their school. They also lost their credit union, store, gas station, and they lost most of their young families. These communities know that the consequences of closing a school in a small rural community is grave. Shutting down our school would be like taking the future out of our community. This presentation will address the social and economic impact on the community should our school be closed. The morale of the village. Our school helps maintain the social fabric of the Millville community by bringing people together, by fostering a sense of belonging, and developing a sense of pride in the place that is home. This point can be further exemplified by the fact that approximately 750 people from all over North America came together to celebrate the 50th Millville School Anniversary Reunion held in 1999. That's right, 750 people. That is more than double the present population of Millville. They came together to remember their time as students and as a community. This speaks volumes about what it means to belong. While it is sad to lose buildings and possessions, they can be replaced. When a school is taken from the community, what is lost can never be replaced. The threat of school closure has been in the minds of many for a long time. It is wearing and it is discouraging to those who work so hard to make this community such a wonderful place to live and raise children. It is discouraging to those who have helped financially support the school in all its efforts to make this school a great place to learn, to play, and to grow. Closing the school and removing our children would be like losing the heart and soul of our community. About the children of the village, children, especially young children, who attend a school that is not within their community, just do not belong. They do not fully belong to their new school community, and they do not fully belong to their home community. They lose their connection to school and community. In a paper titled Fostering School Connectedness, circulated by the psychology team of Anglophone School District West to all schools in the district, it was made explicit the importance of school connectedness. It stated that students who feel connected to school are more likely to succeed academically and make healthy choices. They go on to say that Students who feel connected to their school are more likely to attend school regularly, stay in school longer, and have higher grades and test scores. Less likely to smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, or have sexual intercourse. Less likely to carry weapons, become involved in violence, or be injured from dangerous activities such as drinking and driving, or not wearing seatbelts. Less likely to have emotional problems, suffer from eating disorders, or experience suicidal thoughts or attempts. Removing children from their community makes them less connected. They lose their sense of pride and identity for community. They fail to learn about the history, values, and experiences of their own people. They're less engaged in what is happening in their community, and they lose their connection to the older citizens. The small school experience is one that cannot ever be achieved in a larger school. Small schools offer students a unique learning atmosphere. Students all know each other well, and they help one another. Bonds form quickly among students, teachers, staff, and volunteers, reducing stress and anxiety. Students, staff, parents, volunteers, and guests feel at home right away. Behavior problems are less than they would be at a larger school, as there's greater accountability, less bullying, and more time for one-on-one instruction. Teachers are able to get to know their students' families well, which makes for ease of communication and greater school community connection. Connection to community is so important that it is studied as part of the You and Your World curriculum and social studies. This is where students learn about the importance of self, family, community. It's where they learn how to be active citizens. Why, then, does it make sense to remove children from their community? New families with children will not likely settle in the area if there is no school. Families want to be near a good school for their children to attend. They want to be close enough to be involved in their child's education, especially in the elementary grades. Without a school, the draw for new young families will not be as attractive. Without new young families, the community will not survive. The economic impact on our community would be huge. And about volunteers. Our school has always enjoyed the support of local residents as volunteers. They offer the school rich interactions and a multitude of activities, such as sewing, quilting, dancing, choir, music, crafts, chess, sports, and much, much more. Volunteers provide much needed support by reading with children, fundraising, lending a hand with drama, school grounds cleanup, preparing food, going on field trips, noon hour sports, enrichment clubs, and a preschool group. Volunteers have strong community ties and have a desire to do something that makes a difference to the children in their communities and their families. Many of our volunteers are moms with young children or seniors. Our senior volunteers ensure our children learn valuable life lessons and skills, such as quilting, knitting, and sewing. Our volunteers get as much from our students as our students get from them. This valuable two-way connection between our seniors and the younger generations could potentially be lost. Closing our school would sever these essential community ties. And the economic impact, speaking of loss of trade to area businesses, in addition to the economic impact with regard to new families choosing not to put down roots, if there were no school in the community, local businesses would also be negatively impacted. When students are relocated to new communities, families have the tendencies to switch their spending closer to their children's schools. Chances are that the time, energy, and money that was spent in Melville will be spent in the new school community. MES has always supported local businesses, grads, craft persons, purchasing food items and local produce, gasoline. The activities centered on the school have also had a positive impact on local business. This would be lost if the school were to close. Northcliffe Resources Limited is in the process of getting approval for a tungsten mining project, which will have a 27-year duration. The Sisson project will create 300 jobs, and also spin-off businesses will be developed to service the mine. This will result in additional employment beyond the 300 jobs purposed. Closing Melville Elementary School will make it challenging to attract employees and their families to this area. according to Greg Davison of North Cliff Resources Limited. It should be noted that there is a negative psychological impact on residents to have their former schools standing empty in the heart of their community. It is certainly not attractive nor enticing to new businesses or new families. In conclusion, this presentation has outlined the social and economic impact that closing the school would have on Millville and the surrounding areas. Closing the school would erode the quality of life of the students, their parents, and the community. There is nothing positive that would come as a result of this potential closure.
Never see it coming when the world caves in on you, on your town. There's nothing you can do. Main Street isn't Main Street anymore. No one seems to need us like they did before. It's hard to find a reason left to stay, but it's our town. We love it anyway, come what may. It's our town.
To get down to, I guess, the nitty-gritty, the financial side of things. On an average, over the past 5 years, $15,558 per year has been spent on capital improvement projects for Millville Elementary School. This includes an oil tank replacement in 2014, valued at $11,913, septic field in 2010, valued at $50,620, and attic insulation that was installed in 2013. Valued at $15,620. This comes to a total of $77,790 in 5 years. It is interesting to note that a substantial savings in heating costs of $2,000 in the year following the attic insulation upgrade may be attributed in part to this improvement. Capital improvement projects are listed in order of priority from 1 to 3. Currently, $836,900 worth of repairs and upgrades have been recommended for Millville Elementary School. Some of these are normal, long-term maintenance for any building. We noted that 10 of the 11 capital improvement projects have been designated as priority 2 or 3. In fact, they are of such low priority that the majority of these projects were recommended in the 2004 sustainability study without follow-through. The only priority 1 item listed was an intercom system. This has been described by District Superintendent David McTimony as a low priority 1. We would like to address each of the recommendations individually. The intercom system, priority 1. The school has functioned for 66 years without an intercom system. The classrooms upstairs are located within 10 feet of the office. In an emergency, all classes are within shouting distance. A buzzer was installed 4 years ago to contact the office if required. Today's technology allows for instant communication through instant messaging systems. The teachers use two-way radios during outside duty. The fire and evacuation alarm can be heard inside and outside, and students have been trained to respond to this accordingly. Although this is considered a priority 1 item, it is a low priority 1. Wheelchair lift and automatic doors, priority 2. We have not had a requirement for a wheelchair lift for approximately 23 years. Should the need arise, we are certain that a solution will be found. Until that time, it is not necessary. Roof shingling, priority 2. There have been few issues with the roof to date, and the roof is in good repair. This has been added to the list due to the life expectancy of the current shingles. Window replacement, priority 2. The south side windows were replaced in 2003 and 2005. The remaining windows are listed as in poor condition. They are presently categorized as priority 2. Backflow prevention, priority 2. This install is typically done in structures hooked up to municipal systems. Millville Elementary has its own well and sewer system. Both have recently been updated. The sewer system has no backflow issues. Electrical upgrades, also priority two. This upgrade is on the list due to the life expectancy of the current panels. The panels have been evaluated to be in good condition. This is part of normal long-term maintenance at any school. Ventilation system, priority two. The school is equipped with two Venmer systems. All rooms also have functioning windows that can accommodate air exchange. Office relocation, priority three. The rationale for moving the office does not make sense in light of the fact that students are escorted to and from the bus during loading and unloading time as required by district by either the principal or a teacher. All accesses to the school are locked throughout the day. A buzzer to announce visitors was installed 4 years ago. Staff admits all visitors. A security camera could be installed at a fraction of the cost. This is common in other schools in the district. Floor replacement, priority three. All of the floors in the school have been replaced with the exception of two low-traffic areas, that being the staff room and the library. The floors are in excellent condition with the exception of a few tiles. Floor replacement is unnecessary. Siding replacement, also priority three. The siding on the building is the original siding. It is showing signs of wear, not surprising given its age. Paving, priority two. The driveway and parking lot are currently gravel and have worked well in the past. There is a need for additional gravel to fill the potholes, as can be expected from time to time. This has minimal cost impact. The paved basketball area provides students with a hard surface for outdoor sports. This was paid for by community members and fundraising efforts. The current sustainability study identifies 11 capital investment projects deemed needed for Millville Elementary. We believe this assessment to be misleading, as the majority of the projects have been carried over since the last sustainability study 12 years ago. It seems reasonable to assume that they will remain low on the priority list in the future. None of the recommendations listed are pressing or necessary at this time. I'd like to speak a bit now about transportation. This is something that, honestly, I really hadn't thought much about until I started doing the research for this presentation, and I think the information you'll hear will be quite interesting. The cost of transporting children to Millville Elementary School is minimal. Buses going to Nakawik travel past here every day. The issue, therefore, is the cost of transporting the students home after school. The estimated cost for the Millville afternoon bus run is $13,000. This amount appears to be a lot of money, but is calculated to be only 0.0002% of the $64.8 million allotted for busing in New Brunswick. That's according to the March 2015 National Post. This is not a large portion of the transportation budget. To put it in perspective, the average coffee at Tim Hortons is $1.80. So one person has a coffee a day for 365 days. That's $657. It would take 20 of you in this room today to give up one Tim Hortons a day to cover the cost of transporting these kids home from school in the afternoon. The budget currently supports separate busing for Anglophone and Francophone students living in the same communities. This doubles the cost of transportation in those areas. Therefore, it does not seem justifiable to expect small children to drive long distances to save money. This is from the March 26, 2015 Financial Post Global News. Furthermore, research on rural school closures indicate closing schools does not decrease transportation costs. Costs continue to escalate due to more students on buses and longer bus runs. These add to the associated costs of fuel and maintenance. This is from the Ames Atlantic Institute. In spite of consolidating schools in New Brunswick, the amount of buses increased between 2009 and 2014. There were 81 buses added, even though student enrollment decreased by almost 11,000 kids. A major concern for our students from the ages of 4 to 10 years of age is the amount of time they will spend on buses, reducing their time at home. Data provided from the district states that the longest ride to and from Nakawik would be 65 minutes each way. In the 65 minutes that students are sitting on the bus, an adult could commute from Canterbury to Bath, which would take 50 minutes, Fredericton to Doaketown in 65 minutes, Harvey to Heartland in 67 minutes, Taymouth to Millville in 63 minutes. Keswick to Minto, 67 minutes. Imagine driving this amount of time twice a day as a young child, 4, 5, 6 years old. The busing time adds up. This may not seem like a lot, but in one day, a young child will sit on a bus for 2 hours and 10 minutes. In 1 week, it will be 10 hours, 50 minutes. In 1 year, it's 401 hours and 23 minutes. And from kindergarten to grade 5, they will spend 2,405 hours and 39 minutes sitting on a bus. Let's look a little bit closer at this. 65 minutes twice a day amounts, as I said, to 2 hours and 10 minutes per day. Over the course of a year, they will, as I said, spend potentially 401 hours on a bus. To put this into perspective, I guess, this is equivalent to 124-hour days they will spend sitting on a bus. Considering that young children are awake for 12 to 13 hours a day, they would be losing the equivalent of 200 waking days. This time is taken from the time they could be enjoying sports, playing and interacting with family and friends, and completing homework. By the time they end grade 5, our students will have spent over half a year on the school bus. Due to the fact that the Millville students live further away from Nacogdoches, they will be at the extreme ends of the proposed catchment area. You can see from this data that busing is a major issue for our small children. The well-being of our children is paramount when making decisions about their lives. It has to be more than about just money. Instead of just standing up here and telling you all the negatives about closing our school, we wanted to come forward with a few suggestions for sustainability as well. We believe Millville Elementary School is worth saving. Here are some suggestions we have.
Reconfigure the Millville Elementary School catchment area. The catchment area presently does not even include all the children who live within the village limits. This means that children who live within 5 minutes of our school on 605 are bused over a half hour into Nacogdoches. The original catchment took in Camberhill Road, Maple Ridge, Upper, Central, and Lower Haynesville, Hawkins Corner, Millville, and Maplewood. The catchment area has not been reviewed in over 35 years, and I'd like to mention about Maple Ridge. The entire community was moved to Nacogdoches back in the 70s, and there were enough families who felt so strongly that they wanted their children in Millville that they drove their children to Millville for school every day rather than sending them on the bus to Nacogdoches. And there was even one young lad who walked in middle school to get to Millville for school.
Another option we would like to bring forward is to allow the Millville students to take a proficiency test to enter late immersion. Millville elementary students used to have the option to enter French immersion in either grade 3 or 6. In recent years, the pressure has been put on parents to enter their children in the early program to avoid missing out on the late immersion program. The district announced that we'll no longer offer the grade 6 entry point after this year. To allow students to remain at Millville Elementary from grades K to 5, a number of options would be considered. First, keep students at Millville Elementary from kindergarten to grade 5, as we have a 2-year intensive French program in grades 4 and 5. This is twice the amount of time most children spend immersed in French. We could also allow the children to take a proficiency test for entry into grade 6 French immersion. And I'd like to say from personal experience, my oldest is in grade 6 right now. My second child, his only option to enter French immersion was to do it in grade 3. He refused solely because he did not want to change schools and leave what he was familiar with. So he's now losing out on the opportunity to have a French immersion program and to gain that valuable skill because he did not want to leave what he knew.
The district could reevaluate the transfer request process. A review needs to be done to figure out why requests for transfers are happening so frequently. They often occur due to miscommunications about educational opportunities or the appearance of advantages that one school has over the other, not always based on fact.
The adults who have been given the responsibility to decide the fate of our children, our school, and our community need to take into consideration the well-being of our youngest and most vulnerable citizens. The children of our village are not being offered a better education, a shorter commute, a strong connection to community, or a greater opportunity to be involved in extracurricular activities. You must put as much effort into seriously considering ways to sustain Millville Elementary as you do in finding reasons to eliminate it. What really matters? A vote to close MES says that quality of education does not matter. Impact on the community does not matter. Academic achievement of students does not matter. Over 400 hours a year on a bus does not matter. What's right for our children does not matter. Bottom line, what matters most? Money. Closing Millville Elementary School is a bell that cannot be unrung. The far-reaching consequences cannot be determined based on projections, formulas, or expenditure spreadsheets. Once you close the doors of a school, the life and vitality it provided for a community is gone. The empty building, unkept lawns, and silent playground will whisper of the past, but there will be no way to turn back the clock and recapture what's been lost. It's a major decision, a life-changing decision for a community of families, and should not be taken lightly. The relatively tiny financial benefit to be obtained by closing this school does not compare to the devastating impact it will cause to this community and the local students. Thank you.
We just wanted to remind all the presenters, we would like a copy of the presentation, if possible. If it's on the computer, then we can get it. Or if it's a hard copy, to make sure we get it so we can post it. Our next presenter is Lorenda Kraus on behalf of Glenn and Bertha Morgan.
To the deck for Anglophone West School District. Many years ago in 1948, Miss Jo Palmer, a mother of 14 children, once said, "You build the school and we will fill it." To the school board members, H.C. Greenlaw and Dr. M.L. Jewett, Willard Fleming, and many others. And so the dream of a new modern school for Millville in a little village in the valley was born. The idea for the Millville Superior School came shortly after World War II. Many families had lost loved ones, and they were trying to put their lives back together. They wanted to make sure their children had a good education and a successful future. As with Mr. William and Margaret Morgan, who sold their family farm and a home to build a house in Millville, so the girls June and Ruth could be close to a school for their high school years. Living in Millville today, there are some citizens who attended the first meeting and turning of the soil for the Millville Superior School, and they are so proud that their dream became a reality. The turning of the soil on the knoll in the middle of Millville became the beehive of activity in the community in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and still in the 2000s. It is a place of pride for all who wish and work for the school. Students building the Millville Superior School spanned a reign of 66 years. It set the stage for success as graduating students became teachers, principals, carpenters, railroad personnel, lawyers, professors, nurses, engineers, foresters, police, business owners, missionaries, and excellent parents and grandparents to future generations of Millville students. Originally, the Millville Superior School catchment area took in all of Haynesville, including half of the Calvert Hill Road, Maple Ridge, Howland Ridge, Hawkins Corner, Maplewood, and Millville. The school became so full of students that an addition was added in 1959 and in 1967. The school was filled to capacity, so grade 5 and 6 were sent to the little two-room school in Haynesville on the Calvert Hill Road. As time went on, changes occurred, and in the 1970s, when the Napquick Pulp Mill brought many new families to the local areas, new schools were built to accommodate the influx of students Soon, high school students as far away as Keswick, Canterbury, and Millville were filling the Nakiwik High School. As things changed in Nakiwik, it brought changes to surrounding areas. The Millville catchment area was changed to accommodate the busing of the three Nakiwik schools, even to the point of not picking up students within the Millville limits to bring them to MES. This took more Millville children out of the school, as young mothers in the village did not have a car at home or could not take two or more younger children out to deliver or pick up their older children three times a day. Next came the exit of grade 9 students from Millville when the Nakiwik Junior High was built. Later, Millville became a K-5 school and grade 6 went to Nakiwik. In recent years, our grade 1 and later grade 3 students had to leave to take French immersion because late immersion was not going to be offered. Even though the student population of the village of Millville remained steady, student enrollment at MES declined and the enrollment of Nakiwik schools increased. Trying to keep a village alive with its small rural school has taken its toll on grandparents, parents, citizens of Millville, and especially the children. Once again, we are trying to never, never, never give up, as Churchill once stated. This brings us to today and back to defending our small school, young children, and connection of citizens to their village. The outside of the building is outdated and does not reflect the learning and the caring that takes place inside the rooms of this school, where every child is important, unique, and special. The MES students are more than a number, more than a language, more than a heating bill or a bus route. Each one represents our future doctors, lawyers, healthcare workers, firefighters, and our government, who hopefully will in the future desire to keep rural communities a safer way of life. The MES children have been nurtured to be the best they can be, to believe in themselves and know that they can be anything they want to be in their future. They are the silken thread that connects the people of Millville as a community. The school provides each child a caring and safe environment to learn in spite of potholes in the driveway, an outdated siding, and a few old windows. For many citizens of Millville, having their small children close to immediate and extended family is important. Being in a school close to home shortens the learning day. The school setting gives students a sense of security and sense of community, which will stay with them emotionally for the rest of their whole adult life. Many young parents say they appreciate the Millville School being close to home and the existing staff. They are pleased with the quality education their children get and individualized attention. They know their children will be lifelong learners who take risks and appreciate the special friendships they have made. Once the children are removed from MES and the lights of the school are turned off for the last time, it will be the day the dream dies. From Bertha and Glenn Morgan.
Sharon's going to come back up as a citizen, and she has a presentation.
For those who don't know me, I'm Sharon Connor. I attended here from grade 8 to grade 12. My husband Brian and I both graduated here, and we stayed in the area to farm. Our four children all started school here and graduated in Nakiwik. And so we have quite a big stake in the loving this school and understanding the value of it and wanting to retain it. So good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the District Education Council, ladies and gentlemen. This small school has come under review for closure several times in the past, and I would just like to remind us of some of the reasons that decisions were made to keep it open. The school is the heart of the community, and our rural communities need to be nurtured and maintained. Although rural communities, when located more than a few miles from a city center, are often seen as remote locations by many in government and in other city-centric activities, the rural community is the sustainer of the urban centers. The rural community is where our food is produced, where our wood products are harvested, where people settle to raise their families and pursue pastoral lifestyles, and where many urban employed workers are housed, which frees up urban dwellings for people who need to live in the cities, students at the universities, people with low incomes who need to be near their work or their doctors or other service industries and don't have vehicles. Also, there is a growing demographic of people who want a few acres to grow their own vegetables or keep a few horses. This may not be apparent to the casual observer, but it is a trend that is happening subtly and with ongoing progression. And the rural areas are where many people prefer to live. It is where folks like to live who desire a quiet and slower pace of life. We need to work to preserve the rural areas of the province, and removing the school is a tremendous blow to a village or any other small community. Children have a better sense of stability when they're schooled closer to their own homes. There is more of a sense of being still under the parents' observance, and it does have an effect on behavior for older children and a sense of security for the younger children. Children who attend school out of their own area don't have as much opportunity for after-school activities because of needed transportation to get home after their activity, and too often they just end up missing out on these opportunities. Children traveling from the farthest corners of the Melville catchment area all the way to and from Nakwik or Keswick schools will have long bus rides that would be detrimental to their daily lives. Small children who travel long distances on a school bus arrive home at night, tired and drained, and in no condition to do their homework or enjoy needed interaction with their families. Children are the heart of the community. The presence of children out playing on the playground gives life to the community. Any move to close this school would be a blow to the quality of life in Millville and its satellite communities. Another vacant building in Millville would not be beneficial to the community, nor can it be beneficial to the province as a whole. That is a whole other topic, and I won't go into that just now. Although money should not be the motivator for what is preserved and what is given up, it is usually financial considerations that bring pressure on the survival of any organization or program. That being the case, it is important to identify clearly what those financial constraints are. Some of the factors that have been mentioned to indicate that it is too costly to keep this school open are the need for a paved driveway and parking lot. I submit that the present gravel surface has served us well for the last 66 years, and it is adequate for our needs going forward. Any maintenance occasionally needed is certainly far less costly than unnecessarily paving such an area. And it came to my mind, if you paved it, the next thing you'd need are speed bumps. And we have some of those now. And then people mentioned the need for a gym. There is more opportunity for fun and interesting outdoor activities here than in other schools in the area, if you look at the playgrounds. There's a sliding hill here, a softball and soccer field, an outdoor gym, you might say. It's a paved basketball court that can also be a play area for various activities all at once. Some children can be skipping rope in one corner, and other children playing with a ball in another corner of that area. It's a lovely little spot. And it was provided, may I say, by local funding, not from government funds. Then another reason that's cited as being costly to keep the school open is the need for a cafeteria. Breakfast and lunch programs have been carried on very successfully in Millville for many years, and parent volunteers are closer to the school to take part in these activities than they would be to travel to other school locations farther from home. And we've heard how when they were no longer allowed to cook food in the kitchen here, they found another way to do it with packaged foods. And now it looks like we're back to being certified perhaps for preparing food here again, which is a good thing. Let's not think only of our public purse in this matter. Let's consider what is worth preserving. Millville Elementary School was declared a protected rural school by then Education Minister Kelly Lamrock less than 10 years ago. It must have been deemed to be worth preserving at that time, and a close look at what goes on in this school would underscore that idea. Please take time to look at the list of all the many activities that happen here to enrich the lives of the students and give them a full and rounded education in more than the 3 hours. While still excelling in that order, to that area too. Is the list on the wall somewhere of the activities, or where do we have that?
I think it's upstairs.
Okay. It's an extensive list, if you can read the things that are done in this school to enrich the lives of the children. I'd like to just read you a few excerpts from a letter written to me by Sharon Hawkins. She's a teacher, a former student here, and she couldn't be here. She's in China at the moment, but when she heard of the sustainability study, she wrote me a letter, and I'd just like to read a few bits from it. She said she couldn't really understand why once again we're understudy. The Millville School is a wonder. The last time the community faced this crisis, I passed along to you the comments of my good friend David Perks, who worked there briefly as a substitute teacher. David Perks' assessment was that he was in awe of what he observed. He said that Millville stood out from the crowd. He was impressed with the whole atmosphere, happy, respectful, motivated students, and teachers who were highly professional. Not to say that the other schools in the area did not come up to par, but that Millville simply demonstrated a degree of competence, organization, and professionalism that was truly outstanding to even his perspective as a casual observer. His perspective cannot be dismissed lightly. He is has a storied career. First as a CGA, then as financial advisor to such renowned companies as De Beers and Thompson Newspapers, to name only two. His last position before retirement was as publisher of the Montreal Gazette. He sets a high value on education and over the years has been a keen observer of the fate of education in Canada in general. In his words, he said, it was like being in a time warp. The kids were happy and well-behaved, the teachers were happy and loved their work, and the school was the cleanest place I've ever seen. And to go on with Sharon's words, she says, I have had some first-hand experience there. Upon retirement, I was asked to tutor some of the students in mathematics. I was not eager to take on that work. However, it soon became clear that no one else was available, and the principal persuaded me that the need of these students was the paramount issue. That level of concern for the students from both teachers and administration really struck me. It is rare, in my experience, that such a real bond exists between students and faculty. Oh, certainly the professional instincts are there, but to work in a school where there's almost an organic relationship throughout all the grades is really quite amazing. And in closing, she said, some schools just deserve to be exceptions to the rule. Educators, more than almost any other professionals, should be able to draw those distinctions and refuse to bow to the pressures to cut costs when so much more than savings is at stake. Please pass along these comments to anyone who might be able to help keep this little jewel of a school operating as long as possible. Thank you for allowing me to put forward my thoughts, and let's hope reason prevails over money issues. And that's just part of her letter. Next, I'd like to address some recent developments that could impact this school with higher enrollments. These need to be considered carefully before taking any irreversible action impacting Millville Elementary School. Oh, I'm losing my last page here. The Sisson mine that is in the development stages has the potential to bring families back from Western provinces where they have gone for jobs. Getting all flustered here, you'll have to forgive me. Losing my glasses, which I can't read with them on. They've gone west for job, and it could bring new families into the area, both for the construction phase and for the ongoing operating phase. Then there are the service industries, which will naturally spring up to service these extra workers. And the mine itself, I might say. Many of the people who run these businesses will have school-aged children. The mine has a plan to hire locally as much as possible, but the numbers of workers needed will have to be drawn from a wide enough area that people will be moving closer to the mine site, even from other places in this province. It only stands to reason that some of those families will want to settle in the Millville area, and that there will be young children in the families. The development of the Sisson mine could well be just the first of more industry to be attracted to the province and to this area. Another major employer in the area, the nearby A.V. Nackwick Mill, is staffed by many workers who are nearing their time of retirement. These will most likely be replaced by younger workers of child-rearing age, and this could bring more families to the area also. And then, there is the expected influx of refugees. Since the conflict in the Middle East does not show signs of being over anytime soon, this could be an ongoing situation, certainly bringing many more than the stated 25,000 in the next few years. And it is likely many of those families will be settled in rural areas. Many of these are large families with a number of small children. This could have an as yet unforeseen impact on enrollments in all schools, rural as well as urban. And I mentioned there are a number of empty houses in Melville where it is easy to imagine that some of those families may be settled. Does it not seem wise to at least keep Melville Elementary School open for the next few years until we can see what effect these factors, the mine, the mill, and the refugees, will have on enrollment here? Once the school is closed, it would be far more costly to reopen it if needed than to keep it open now and let the changing demographics show us what is the wisest course of action. I'm requesting that any decision to close Melville Elementary School be deferred to give these demographic changes time to play out. Let any decisions taken fall on the side of caution. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we have a video from Natalie Larson. Thank you. we have had some last-minute changes in the schedule, so the agenda, so we're just going by our new schedule. So at this time, we'll invite Mayor Bev Forbes up and council member.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, deck members. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As mayor of the village of Millville, I'd like to welcome everyone to this meeting and say thank you for the organizers for giving me the opportunity to speak. We have gathered here tonight for a common purpose, to discuss the Millville Elementary School. School closures in rural areas is constantly being discussed at the provincial and federal levels. For more than a decade now, the province of New Brunswick has raised the question of whether or not there is a need for an elementary school in the village of Millville. They would argue that enrollment is down, building costs are too high, or that amalgamation is the way of the future. However, anyone that has lived in a small rural community and has been fortunate enough to attend a school within that community will agree you cannot put a price on small community schooling or education. EducationWorld.ca is quoted as saying, "Reforming public education may be as simple as creating smaller schools. Small schools may be the remedy for what is wrong with public education. Small schools can reduce the negative effect of poverty, reduce violence, and increase parental involvement and student accountability. There exists in the majority of our small schools a sense of pride and a sense of personal possession and involvement on the part of students, parents, teachers, administrators, and common residents, community residents. To a great degree, the school is a community center in small towns and rural areas. The majority of people in a small village has attended a school. The baby boomers, which was the Millville Consolidated School, and housed grades 1 to 12. And then the children when it became an elementary school from grades 1 to 5, and then K to 5 in 1991. At one time or another, most of us have attended various functions at this school. There have been countless Christmas programs, craft sales, year-end barbecues, parent-teacher meetings, bake sales, auctions, and graduations. We have walked the halls of the school, admiring the students' artwork, so proudly displayed on the school's walls. In the summertime, our children play soccer and baseball, in the new field and the new reconstructed playground, and the village is currently in the process of a skateboard park. Oftentimes, teachers can sit around a single table or to create a culture of shared decision-making. The close, intimate setting of this school has helped students to learn independently and progress at their own rate. While other pupils have helped the other ones, the teachers are able to take time to individualize lessons and provide personal contact with each student on a daily basis. Young pupils fully become aware of what is happening and expected in the next grade because they can see and hear children working on advanced lessons. A new study entitled Small Schools, Great Strides reveals some significant potential benefits of small schools. Dropout rates are significantly lower. Students have higher grade average. Students have better attendance records. Fewer students fail courses. Fewer students are retained at the elementary level. Students achieve higher standardization test scores in reading. What are the results of these benefits? Personal relationships. The size of the school does not inhibit personal interaction. It encourages, and morale among students tends to be higher. As a result, students are likely to have better attitudes towards school and less likely to create discipline problems. Today, children may not necessarily live in a typical family setting. Teachers are apt to know more about the students as individuals and to be familiar with the family backgrounds from which they come. This may allow teachers to make special provisions for individual needs and talents and to receive better cooperation from parents in resolving problems that may arise. In essence, students can interact more frequently and informally with the teachers. There's also a great tendency for cooperation between teachers and administrators because relationships tend to be more personal and informal. Teachers who live and work in small communities are more likely to be viewed as respected and valued citizens by our community members. Millville Elementary School offers a climate that is orderly, serious, safe, and attractive. There's leadership by the principal, teachers, and staff, and high expectations for achievement. For student achievement, which are clearly communicated to the students. Scheduling is much more flexible than in a large school, and schedules can be easily altered to accommodate instructional activities. Because of parent volunteers, the children in this school are able to participate in more field trips, social activities, arts, culture activities. Other community members will volunteer at the school when it to help decorate school, and when they need to sit down with the children to do extra homework and listen to them read. In the past few years, our community has had a few hardships. The outdoor rink house burnt and was rebuilt. The Millville Branch Legion was burnt and was rebuilt. And the fire hall was burnt in the process of being rebuilt. This shows that a small community can overcome big obstacles. One thing that remains constant is our population. Citizens of this community may have lived here all their entire life. One comment I constantly hear is that the people move to Millville so the children can attend a small school, even if it means they have to travel a great distance for their work. In conclusion, I want to state that no educational facilities should ever close these doors, even in small rural areas. Small schools need not apologize for their size. The challenge facing teachers, parents, and students attending small schools only helps to provide the most meaningful education possible. If Millville Elementary were to close, it would be like removing the heart of our community. Once again, we are fighting to see that we remain open, and I thank you for your time.
Now we have Carl Urquhart or Chris Duffy. So just Mr.
Carl Urquhart.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, DAC members and citizens. You know, I'm Carl Urquhart, the area MLA here. And said, listen, when we talked earlier, we were deciding whether we should discuss or talk, or should we just listen and take the things back? But just from listening here tonight, I felt I would like to say a few words. I know most of you on deck, you're probably as good a people as you get when it comes to the communities and your commitment. But and you've been given probably one of the easiest jobs that anybody can be given, because the mandate they give you to work around is as easy to do, because when you can justify school closures through cost and the cost in student enrollment, our grade 5 class can come to the same conclusion that you're going to have to. Our problem is, when I went into politics, I had an unrealistic belief that there's two groups in the province that were French and English. And once I found out I was in politics for a while, getting around, I realize that the French and English are the same, and the biggest problem is rural and municipal. Rural New Brunswick is probably the most forgot about or the most neglected group in our province. North Shore country Frenchmen and the South Shore country Englishmen have the same wills and the needs and the wants, and they want their school. If you take out a service New Brunswick out of a community, you lose a little bit. You move a government garage, you lose a little bit. If you move anything, you lose a little bit. But when you lose your school, you lose everything you can possibly have. It's not something that you can replace through mortar in times such as that. My biggest worry and fear is we do have an area here. You take little things. I look around here. I go to Nackwick. Everybody there is sitting playing on an iPad or a cell phone or a BlackBerry. And I know some of you guys, your hands are sweating because you haven't been able to do it since you hit the top of the middle. But those are just little things that they don't understand. And the little, when you say you need a gym, like they don't like that. That is city mentality. You need a parking lot. All the stuff that you need to survive is there. We don't have bullying. You got a bullying because you got a kid in grade 5 and kid in grade 1, the brother and sister. Like everybody in that classroom is related type of thing. And these types of things. But the mentality is what worries me. The travel of these kids into Nackwick, I know. It could be one bad day at that mill, and we're all in trouble. But it is the transportation. I've got pulp trucks going on that road. I've had buses slide off the Pike Hill. I've had stuff like that. But what I want to encourage, and what I'll be taking back, is I know as DEC members, you're given a job to do by government, but we need to feel that our DEC members are there fighting for us to government. I know the most embarrassing indication of failure by any government is to look at a rural school. And if we did it, I'm not saying Liberals, Tory, whatever, but any government, and I look at cabinet, for some reason, cabinet people are all Moncton, St. John, Fredericton, they're all big city boys or girls that are there. Very few of the rural people are put in a position of authority in cabinets. But your mandate is given to them, and the only thing that you're going to have to justify it on is school enrollment and cost. And that's the simplest equation we can do. But my urge to you and my talk in the legislature, I know because of what happened in Brown Flattener, you folks are going to give us three meetings. That's because the court said you had to give us three meetings. You're going to go through your due process, and you are going to take this back to them. But once you've done that, you're justifying your justification of your job is done. But at the same time, we out here have got to make it very clear to them, and we're hoping that you will make it very clear to them that there is a difference of cost when it comes to doing that. So, thank you very much.
Carol, just one question so I'm clear. I'm not into politics. Are you PC?
I am.
Okay.
Can't you tell?
Well, I tried to pick it up, and I didn't want to assume anything, so, okay. Certainly, we want to thank everyone for their presentations. I do want to give a chance to our DEC members if there's any questions that they have for on any of the presentations at this time. We are going to get copies of everything that we can. I mean, there may be some things with the children at first that we may not need or they may not want to make public, but...
I could just say, Mark, I sort of kept a list of what I'll be looking for, and if you're willing, and I think Sandra, you said there's maybe a binder. Okay, good. So the things that I wrote down were children letters, video of the children, then the Middleville PSSC PowerPoint. It looked like there were a couple different sections of it. The Community Connection PowerPoint had a video, a script from Lorinda. Script from Sharon, PowerPoint slides that went through automatically. Mayor Forbes, your script. Mr. Urquhart, I don't know if you have scripts or not.
You know we do well.
So anyway, any of those, that's what I had. If I've missed anything, please make sure you see me. And if I've called that out and you're willing for it to be a part of the report, we'd love to make it a part of the final report that we put together both online, submitted to the minister, and submitted to the council.
I just had where would you like that email? Or do you want
I'll come right up here at the end and you can talk.
And of course we do want to remind you as a community that there are a number of ways to communicate to us through email, through the website, through even, I think we have a snail mail address. So you know, anything you feel is relevant to help us with our decision, then please send it our way. We do want to thank all the presenters. It's not easy to present. These presentations, you can tell that there was a lot of thought, very well done, and we appreciate the time that is put into it. No one has an easy job, but we are here to do the job, and we all have an interest in education. I did want to take the chance, if anyone had a question, there is a microphone there because we are recording the session. If you had a question for us at this time, then that would be the good time to ask it. Okay, with that, Donald.
Someone had mentioned, I think in the presentation, that there were a list of activities that are going on in the school. That's available, I believe, through the school annual report, and all those are listed in it.
Good. Anyone else? All right, with that, we'll adjourn the meeting and again say a big thank you to all those that presented, all the community members, the district staff, and Education Council. Thank you very much.